lover of Derek Carr. And we're back with episode 88.5.
Yeah, cracking open a cold one for episode 88.5.
What are you rocking there?
Got a yerba mate. Just got to power through this research episode. We got NFC Beast, so I'm trying to, you know, get pumped.
What's a yerba taste like? Some people have told me it tastes like dirt. Is that correct?
That's pretty accurate. It's not great, but it gets you fucking jacked.
All right.
All right. Let's start out with the Dallas Cowboys. All right. So they're coming off, well, let's see, consecutive 12-5 seasons, and Jerry Jones is getting pissed, all right? Because they consistently make the playoffs and then blow it. A lot of that has to do with Philly, but McCarthy
and Ezekiel Elliott playing center, right?
Yeah. So McCarthy, I'm thinking he thinks his job maybe is on the line. So he fired the offensive coordinator and now is going to be taking over all play calling duties. Kind of like, all right, something's got to change, and if my job's on the line, I'm going to be the one to run it into the ground or take us to the Super Bowl. They're so set up with players, and their defense is going to be probably the best in the league this year.
It's up there.
I mean, with Micah Parsons coming off what he's got, what, 2 seasons already, and he's already got over like 26 sacks.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's gonna be good.
Stephon Gilmore too, who's still
and rolling. Yeah, they got Stephon Gilmore now.
Trevon Diggs.
Really quick, let's look at their running backs. We obviously don't know what's going on with Zeke. Now there's rumors that, you know, Jerry Jones might sign him back. But as Shane mentioned, the Broncos are looking for a running back. So maybe he goes there. But I don't know. Dak's such good friends with Zeke. And he said like a couple weeks ago that he's just practicing in Zeke's backyard and stuff. Or in Dak's backyard. And looks still really good. Still looks like playoff shape, even though, you know, it was mentioned that he's like running, he looks like he's running through quicksand.
Yes. Yep.
But in terms of Tony Pollard this year, he's gonna get his chance to be the lead back. He's most likely gonna be great. The only thing I don't like is that he's smaller and gonna be privy to a lot of injuries, I think. And if we look at the snap share of what they had last year, Zeke was around like 240 or something like that. And I think Pollard had almost 200. So they're running 400 or 500 times a year. I think Pollard in this offense is going to get over 200. Maybe he gets somewhere around 240. 240 carries, but like I said, he's going to be real injury prone, so it'll be really interesting to see how they spread it around. They've got Malik Davis and Ronald Jones, but they also picked up this guy in the draft this year, Deuce Vaughn, who
very little
5'5", 175. He played at Kansas State and actually led all running backs in college last year in terms of yardage.
He's explosive for sure.
Yeah, so he's going to get utilized a lot in the passing game, I think. But he's not going to be that guy that if Pollard goes down, it can be your lead back. So, and I don't trust Malik Davis or Ronald Jones to do that either. So they're going to have to figure out something. They're going to have to bring Zeke back or do something in free agency.
Derrick Henry trade.
Before training camp starts. I mean, it's if Pollard goes down, this run game is not good. So
I have some Dallas running back stuff if you'd like.
Sure.
Because I want to hear your take on it, right? So like,
yeah.
Zeke vacates 231 rushes. And so like, so Pollard's never had more than 200 rushes in a season. He's always been a rotation guy. And like, dude, he had like an over 5 yards per carry. So you got to assume if he goes up to 220 or 230, his number is going to just go down, right?
Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't go below like 4.5 or 4.
Right.
But yeah.
So like he had 6 games last year as a top 10 running back, but he only had 20 or more carries in one of those games. So like, could you imagine if he stays efficient and he has 20 carries a game, he's a guy that you can get at like, you know, the middle of the second that could end up the running back one.
Sure. Yeah.
How's that offensive line rank this year? Are they still like top 10 like they were last year?
They're strong.
They're still going to be pretty good, yeah.
And dude. And so did you see the Mike McCarthy press conference where he's like, no, we're going to run the ball more to give our defense time to rest? But like, they ran the 6th most in the league.
That's a lot easier when you have Zeke, though, right? You have a bruiser. Right. You're like, all right, he's on a contract here. We're just going to fucking throw him away after this year. Where like now it's like, all right, now we have Tony Pollard and Deuce Vaughn as our bruisers.
Right. Okay. And like Tony said, that was 231 touches last year. And if we go off of Pollard's 193 or whatever he had last year, I'm thinking he's around 240. So that's only 50 more. That means there's still, what, 170 touches left to give to someone? And I don't know how that's going to happen without a free agency acquisition.
It's, dude, I'm telling you, this is crazy, but it's Rojo. It's fucking Rojo.
Really?
Rojo was running back 21 in 2020 on 192 carries and 28 receptions.
That was so like Tampa, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Okay, so here's what I had. If the Cowboys, who go on record saying they want to run more, they had 531 carries last year. So let's say 550. All right? So here's option one. Tony Pollard, workhorse. Pollard, 300 carries. That still leaves us with 250 carries to give out. So I think you give Rojo 150, Malik Davis 50, Deuce Vaughn 50.
I think Deuce Vaughn just becomes the punt returner, right? Like, I know they paid that like abuser really decent money for what he does, but I think Deuce Vaughn's explosive enough to be the returner.
I think Deuce Vaughn is also, I think he's the returner, and I also think he's like the gadget guy. You're running jet sweeps with Deuce Vaughn.
Okay.
And then, so the other, I have three options. So the second one is option two, Pollard touches more than last year, but not workhorse level, where he's at 225. You give Malik Davis 75. That still leaves Rojo with 175 carries.
That's crazy.
And then option three is in the middle, right? So Pollard 250, which is still more than he's ever had. Rojo at 160, Davis at 75, Vaughn at 65. Everything I looked at said to me that Rojo is gonna like get good touches. Like he's a best ball sleeper. And so like, here's the thing. I looked at all of the running back, the RB2 in every Mike McCarthy play calling team and every Schottenheimer play calling team in both of those combined, it's over 7 carries a game. So I'm projecting Rojo to get 7 carries a game this year, if not more.
Why has Rojo been like hated, right? Because didn't he have a really good year in Tampa?
And then he faded just in time for Fat Lenny to come in and kill it.
Yeah.
He let a lot of people down.
But like coaching wise, is he just like a fumbler? Is this why he just gets like cast to the shadow realm and people like?
No, he's not super explosive. Okay. He's a volume guy, but like I kind of like Rojo. Seems like he's going to get 120 to 150 carries this year, even if Tony Pollard kills it.
In 2019 and 2020, he had over 175 carries in Tampa Bay.
And he did well. with those carries. Yeah. So I think that Rojo is a guy that I like late in drafts. But like Tony Pollard, man, I don't know about you, Ryan. So are you in on Tony Pollard? What do you think? Is he worth it at the end of the first?
For me, in redraft, it would depend who's out there. But I'm not particularly in on him because I feel like I said, there's a lot of run game going on, and I feel like he's too small. He's gonna get injured. Something's, you know.
Okay.
And if you want to take that injury risk, go ahead, take it at the end of the first round, maybe beginning of the second. But
so we've been mocking a lot.
It's gonna depend who's out there.
We've been mocking a lot in FA, and I'm consistently seeing for sure Pollard going above Ramondre and Najee Harris, which I will not do, just based on, like you said, injury history, workload, and Najee's not as efficient as Tony Pollard, but like for me personally, Tony Pollard is just too expensive. If he's like a late second, early third turn, if him and Najee were flipped, I wouldn't have a problem with it at all, right? I'd be way more inclined to do that. But I've seen some drafts where people are taking him over Derrick Henry.
Wow.
But that's the thing though, right? Is that he's the safe play around Pollard's current ADP is Saquon or Jonathan Taylor. But Pollard is the one out of those three that I think is most likely to drastically return on value.
That's true. I mean, you're drafting him at what, RB7, RB8?
I see. Four for four had him as RB6.
Fuck.
So then, Shane, you're on Najee Harris. That was actually one of my either ors, Pollard or Najee.
Just the way I play the game. You know what I mean? That's just how I view the running back position of just give me the fat dude who's just going to take 280 touches a year, right? Like, I don't know. I've come to realize I just hate the running back position in football. In fantasy, it just sucks.
I am going.
I was going to say, you're probably going to go Pollard.
I'm going Pollard, but I recognize that Najee is most likely the better play.
But like, okay, so we take injury concerns out, right? Like, we play in this vacuum. You obviously go Pollard because he's the ceiling play, right? If this guy can get 220 to 245 touches, but his yards per carry is like 6.7 compared to Najee's, which is like 4.4, you clearly go with the guy who's more efficient.
Right.
Sure.
Gut.
My other one was Najee or Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones could potentially get a crap load of.
You mean Pollard or Aaron Jones?
Or Pollard or Aaron Jones? Sorry.
I think at ADP I take Aaron Jones because he's like late third, early fourth in some leagues I've been getting him. And granted, those numbers will change as ADP changes and numbers will flip and more casuals will come in and be like, oh, I know Aaron Jones, he's a good guy. But like we talked about last week, he's going to be the quietest running back 9 finish we're ever going to see.
I'm taking Aaron Jones because that also means in round 2 I'm getting Chris Olave.
Damn.
Suck it.
All right, let's talk about their wide receiver situation. Obviously, we got CeeDee Lamb. They added Brandon Cooks this year. We still got Michael Gallup. We got a new rookie, got potential, Jalen Brooks. They got Jalen Tolbert and then a bunch of other guys I don't know how many wide receivers they're going to keep on the roster, but that Simi Fehoko guy still has a chance to do some stuff. Kevontae Turpin.
Just there for kick returns.
Yeah. But we'll see. Maybe not. Maybe it'll be Deuce Vaughn, like Shane said.
Sure.
But I'm projecting this year CeeDee Lamb's going to have maybe around 150 to 160 targets.
That's what he had last year, maybe, right?
Close to 100 receptions, hopefully more than 1,200 yards, maybe 8 to 10 touchdowns. He's going to be someone I really want in redraft, especially with Dak throwing the ball. Dak's numbers from last year don't really show you a lot because Cooper Rush played for, what, five, six games?
Yeah.
Prescott's only had, I think he had like 2,800 yards and like 26 or 28 touchdowns.
Wasn't something like the most, most intercepted quarterback in the time.
He had 15. No, he led all quarterbacks with 15 interceptions last year, and he only played in 12 games.
Oops. Yeah, that's true.
That's sleep number king.
Jameis Winston interception numbers, but yeah.
I'm going to tell you what the problem is, though. The problem is that he's more accurate in the early, like the shorter range for passing, and then in deep. So the middle, like 10 to 19 yards, he sucks at. And Kellen Moore, that's where his offense lives.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. And so, like, he's going to have, like, a lower ADOT, and he's going to get, like, more efficient. So, like, think about it. So he was ninth in the league in passes that were charted as interceptable. But Geno Smith, like, so he had, you know, all of those got picked off. Geno Smith had, like, twice as many, but half the amount of interceptions.
Sure.
And like you were saying, too, like, that scheme worked out where they were trying to rely on Yak when the scheme of curl routes and digs weren't working for that type of style of play, you know what I mean? Because they had to manufacture inauthentic accuracy by forcing the receiver to be in front of the ball.
Correct. That was the thing about CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb was, he was 80. Okay, so he was ninth in the league in total yards after the catch, but it's because he caught so many fucking passes. But he was 87th in yards after catch, like average per reception.
That's abysmal.
Wow.
But that's Kellen Moore. That's what he does. You're turning around and catching the ball facing the quarterback. Then you have to turn upfield. So if CeeDee Lamb's getting the ball in space, on, you know, like he's being led into the pass, he's getting yards after the catch elements, he could get even better.
Sure. That's also why I like the addition of Brandon Cooks this year, because wherever Brandon Cooks goes, so this is what, his ninth team that he's been on or something like that. he's projected to get I got him at like 110 targets.
I was thinking 90, but
I have him at 95, so we're all right around the same area.
Hopefully around 65, 70 receptions.
60 to 65.
And hopefully somewhere between 800 and 1,000 yards. He's going to steal some of his production from CeeDee Lamb, I think. But he's gonna benefit because if you're on Lamb, then Cooks is gonna be open.
He's also free at ADP.
We really didn't have that last year with Gallup, who's just, I don't know, he was supposed to be really good last year and just fell off the face of the earth.
Well, I think he came back too soon from the ACL.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Do you think, I have a question for you. So I had Cooks at 95 targets, 60 to 65 catches, 850 yards. All right. So okay. So how many touchdowns do you think Brandon Cooks has?
Four.
Six or seven.
Okay. Because last year, Donovan Peoples-Jones had 61 catches on 97 targets for 839 yards, but only three touchdowns. So he was wide receiver 42. If he had six touchdowns, he had as many points as Drake London and wide receiver 31.
So if
you think Cooks is going to get, I think we can all agree somewhere within the range of 100 targets, somewhere within the range of low 60s to low 70s in catches,
yeah,
and 800 to 1,000 yards, that's wide receiver 42. But if he gets six touchdowns, Cooks could be a huge fucking value, y'all.
Yeah. And that's part of the reason when I was looking at my projections. I didn't go very conservative because I have a feeling that Dallas is going to make a Super Bowl push this year, and Dak's going to put up, I'm thinking close to 40 touchdowns. I'm really hoping close to 40 touchdowns.
Okay.
And you're going to want a lot of parts of this offense and your redrafts. And
I think, I'm assuming you're going to go into team schedule next, but I'm pretty sure that they're going to have to score a lot of points this year too.
Yeah. 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 I'll touch on tight ends really quick, and then we can look at the schedule.
Tight end by committee.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really excited for this like tight end trio that they got going here, because it's, you know, every team's got their star and then their blockers, but there's potential for a lot of touchdown targets with the new addition to Schoonmaker, who's basically a carbon copy of Dalton Schultz, and can develop really well and potentially be that team's tight end one within the next 2-3 years. You got Jake Ferguson and you got Peyton Hendershot. And in my opinion, I think Hendershot's going to end up being the one with the better numbers over Jake Ferguson.
Well, just right from now,
the games that I watched last year,
right now in mini camps, Ferguson was running with the first team offense.
Right, right.
But that doesn't matter because it's Ryan's gut. So
yeah, yeah. I have Hendershot around 35 to 40 targets. 350 yards, and I'm being, you know, I'm not going to go conservative. I'm going to say 4 touchdowns. I think he's going to get some red zone targets. And I've got Jake Ferguson's numbers right around the same too. Cause I think the tight end, this year is going to be heavily targeted in the red zone. And then Schoonmaker, who knows what's going to happen with this guy. He's bigger than both of those guys. Like I said, exact copy of Dalton Schultz, and that's probably why they drafted him. And when Dalton Schultz was playing with Dak, he got crap load of targets, got a bunch of touchdowns, and could develop some really good chemistry with Dak.
Schultz led the league in most red zone targets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dak loves his tight ends.
Right.
He does.
With this committee, I'm so excited for the tight end position in Dallas. It's going to be great. It's just going to suck, like, for DFS to try and pick who's going to score that week, you know?
Because we're all going to be the same price.
Well, Ryan, I think kind of like how I named the Jamal Agnew line, I was looking at Dallas tight end stats last year. Peyton Hendershot had 11 catches, and 3 of them were touchdowns. Yeah. That's the most DFS shit I've ever fucking heard in my life.
Yeah.
I think Hendershot's the second tight end. I think it's Ferguson, Hendershot, Schoonmaker. But I think if they're going to be running more like they want to, you're going to see Hendershot and Ferguson in the red zones a lot.
Yeah, but I have a feeling, too, that game script's going to dictate that maybe they start off the first half running a lot. But I think they're going to get into a lot of shootouts this year.
Their first 4 games are pretty easy, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, in terms of strength of schedule, we can look at that. I've got them, let's see. They have actually a pretty easy schedule. It's in the easiest third of all the schedules, I think, this year. Let's see. Week 1, they go to New York to play the Giants. That should be a win. Unless for some reason Danny Dimes is just going crazy. But like
that's
I said,
that's a low scoring game though, right? Like 17-21.
I would think so, because like I said, the Dallas defense is going to be 1, 2, or 3 by the time the season's at best on the year.
Sure.
Week 2, they're at home against the Jets. That should be a win.
That's a win.
Week 3, they go to Arizona. That's a win.
It's a beat down.
Yeah. No shit.
Week 4, Belichick goes down to Dallas, and I think that's a win against New England.
That's an ass whooping.
Week five, they go to San Francisco, Sunday Night Football. That might be a close game.
I'm giving them the L there. I think the 49ers own their souls.
Yeah, at home at Levi. Okay, dude, we're at Jerry Rice.
Ever since that was done.
Yeah. So you're at 4-1. Then they go to LA, another Sunday Night Football, to play the Chargers.
That's a loss. If they're running the ball, it's a W. If they're running the ball, it's a W.
That's a good point. I'm holding. I have two losses so far.
Okay, I'm calling that a win. So I'm going 5. Week 7's a bye. Week 8, they're back home against LA Rams. I'm calling that a win. Week 9, all right. This is gonna be toss it for me. They go into Philly to play NFC East rival.
That's a loss. They'll beat Philly at home, but they'll lose in Philly.
Yeah, you're right. I think they'll split on the year and they'll take the win at home. So week 10, they're back at home, play the Giants again. That could be close too, but I'm going to call it a win.
That's a win.
Week 11, they go to Carolina. That's a win. Week 12 against Washington. That's a win. Week 13, they're at home against Seattle. That could be close too.
I'm giving them a win. I don't think Seattle. I think the Magic's over in Seattle.
That's a defensive slog, though. That's not going to be an offensive game. That's going to be a, hey, we're going to grind out 12-9.
That's actually a Thursday night game, because I noticed it says it's on Amazon. So that's got to be a Thursday night game.
Yeah, that's going to be an extra Thursday night game for sure.
Yeah. They have a lot of primetime games this year. Then they go against Philly again, week 14, at home. That's a Sunday night game. I'm calling that a win. Ooh, then afternoon game, week 15, they go into Buffalo.
That's a loss.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. We'll call it a loss. Another afternoon game, week 16, Christmas Eve, they're at Miami. I'm going to call that a win.
Yeah, I'll give them a win there. It's tough.
Then, let's see, week 17, New Year's Eve, Sunday. Is it Sunday Night Football? Or maybe it's Monday Night Football. It says it's on ABC. Maybe it's Monday night. They're playing Detroit.
That's a loss. That's a loss, baby.
J-Mo's going to be Trayvon Diggs' daddy.
And then to round out the season, they're at Washington, last game of the season. I'm calling that a win.
Hey, guess who's going 12-5 again?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Guess who's going 12-5, making the playoffs again.
Who do they choke against in the playoffs against, though? Is it San Francisco again?
In San Francisco, yeah.
You think?
Fucking cursed, dude.
Yep, this is how it's funny. We already know how this story ends.
Yeah, It's going to be an interesting story for the Dallas Cowboys this year. I always enjoy these last few seasons watching those games just because they're so good. I mean, they're fun. Yeah. And now that we went through the schedule, I'm excited even more. But all right. I don't know if we got anything else we want to talk about with Dallas. But
Where do you rank Dak as a QB in redraft, Ryan? What round are you comfortable in taking him?
Well, generally in redraft, I try to get wide receivers first and then take a couple running backs. I don't know, maybe between 7 and 9. If he's there, but a lot of the redrafts that I play in, like me and Tony's home league, and It's kind of sucks. It's kind of hard to predict where quarterbacks would go because a lot of those people take quarterbacks in the first 5-6 rounds. And so if you do like a zero running back strategy, you can't really like wait till like round 9, 10, or 11 to get that quarterback. You kind of got to snipe between 5 and 8 because you're going to be left with garbage by that, by those rounds. But
Ryan, would you take Dak over Russ in redraft?
Wilson? Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
But would you take him over Geno Smith?
Yes. I don't think Geno Smith's magic's going to be there again this year. I think he had his 1 year and he's done.
Shane, question goes to you.
Ceiling is way higher for me than Dak. I'm a Cowboy hater. I haven't been watching football that long, but I'm a Cowboy hater, and it's fun watching them fail. But Dak has a way higher ceiling because, like, my projected... I mean, we've talked about the regression of Geno Smith, right, and the addition of Charbs. Like, that team is just going to... They're going to do what Dallas wants to do. They're going to be able to run the rock for 60% of the game, right? Where,
yep,
sure.
I don't foresee Geno. I know you believe Geno can finish as a top 10 just based on efficiency and the quote unquote volume, but like I think they're going to take a step back and run the ball a lot more. So I'd rather take Dak for the ceiling.
Okay. And here to round it out, what we were just talking about, I had written down an either or. Would you want CD Lamb or DK Metcalf?
Lamb.
CD easy. CD's a guy who I will always see at the latter end of the first, early second, and I will never be upset about that pick. He always goes around Diggs or Adams, and I'm like, you know what? He's going to finish within 2 or 3 points of this thing. I'm not ever upset about it. He's not super sexy, or I don't think he can finish at wide receiver one, but
nope.
I still believe that insulation is there where he's like the safest pick at that point.
Correct.
Okay. How about CD Lamb or Jamar Chase?
It's Chase.
Yeah, ceiling play on me for Chase. Chase is going like 103 right now, dude. It's crazy.
Yeah. Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Is it Commander's time?
Fuck.
I think it's Commander's charge, baby. Time.
All right. This one's going to be fun, you guys. I was actually had a good time writing this one. So we're going to start with quarterbacks. But before we do, let's talk about some things. Washington goes into this year with the worst odds to win their division. Duh, right?
yep.
But I think there's some fantasy relevancy on this roster. So we'll start with Sam Howell. Fifth round pick. Played one game last year. Beat the Cowboys. Went 19 of 25 for 168 yards. One touchdown, one interception. In 2022, when we did the rookie stuff, I compared him to 2021 Baker Mayfield as a prospect. He's got that dog. All right, but I think we need to pump the brakes on the Sam Howell hype, and let's talk about why. One, Washington's offensive line at this moment is really just hope for the best. Charles Leno was strong at left tackle last year, but everyone else kind of sucked. They're hoping a third-round rookie named Ricky Stromberg from Arkansas can be a day-one starter. They signed Nick Gates from the Giants, who has an injury history and is usually, even when healthy, middle of the pack. They brought in Andrew Wiley as a tackle from Kansas City because Bieniemy is the new offensive coordinator, whatever. If these three guys hit, Washington's offense, good to go. If they don't, Caleb Williams time, baby.
I think they're just plagued, though. Like they're plagued to be like bad enough, but not good enough to draft like again in the top five.
They were in playoff contention until like week 17 last year.
Yeah, thanks, Ron.
I've never understood, like, I hate the NFC East division because somehow they go 7-9 and they make the playoffs. I
love that. I love chaos.
Hate it.
Well, so let's talk about reason two why I think we need to chill on Sam Howell. Eric Bieniemy is coming from Kansas City. So he's the offensive coach. You think he's going to bring in a KC-style system. But that offense, that's Andy Reid's offense.
Yeah.
So I found the coaching tree of former Andy Reid offensive coaches that got head coaching or offensive coordinator jobs elsewhere. Matt Nagy, bad.
Ugh.
Doug Peterson, good. Yeah. Pat Shurmur, who went 19-46 in Cleveland and the Giants. And
oh my God.
And wait, Pat Shurmur was the OC in Denver with Vic Fangio last year. The one that got fired after like 3 weeks. So we're 1-for-3 for Kansas City offensive coaches. I'm rooting for Bieniemy, right? But
yeah.
But let's be real, like this isn't Kansas City, and a full playbook reinstalled with a rookie quarterback who spent last year learning the old playbook, I'm not really confident in that. So, three, and my final reason. Shane, I would like to make peace with you before I slander your boy.
Okay? Oh, he sucks. Don't worry.
If Sam Howell had shown anything last year that even resembled confidence or ability, don't you think he would have cracked the lineup before week 18?
Yeah, because he was... Yeah, go ahead.
So if you take this dude who hasn't shown enough to beat out two replacement level quarterbacks, give him the reins, and then erase the chalkboard and make him learn a new system, that's... Look, if he's successful, he's off.
That's just Washington as a organization, right? Of like, hey, we're just going to put it all together last minute and everyone will just have to be okay with it.
Right, right. So if Howell's successful, we got to give him all the props in the world for turning chicken shit into chicken salad.
He is the chicken nugget king too. So,
look, I'm not betting on him, not because I think that he's bad, but because I think he's not there yet. I do like him. I just don't think he was put in a place to succeed this year. And let's hope the line holds up so he survives.
No, he's just in a foundation that's not meant to succeed.
So for some reason, when I wrote this down, Sam Howell was quarterback 19 on 4-for-4.
Wow.
So gentlemen, Sam Howell or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Garoppolo.
Dude, I hate you so much. I thought I was getting more cruel with my things, but that's just fucked up of a question to ask somebody. Ryan,
I can't go with the mystery, you know.
Okay.
I gotta go with Garoppolo.
Okay.
He failed his physical. I'm going Chicken Nugget King, dude. Give me the unknown here.
Okay. Sam Howell or CJ Stroud?
Stroud. Oh. I like how Houston kind of set him up with Schultz and...
I'm going Stroud, too.
Tank Dell. Yeah, you're going to go into weapons here. I only know Terry McLaurin, so yeah, fuck it. My original QB1. Let's ride 3-for-3.
All right. So let's talk running backs. What a first year for Brian Robinson. Started out by getting shot. Came back onto the field for his first game to 50 cents, many men, which was the coldest moment of 2022. He had almost 800 yards through 12 games and, of course, started the great giant hat craze of 2022.
Yep.
So Gibson's there, but he's not a hindrance to Robinson getting touches. In the games that both of them played together, Robinson still averaged 16 carries for 64 yards. He's not going to get you more than one target a game, but if you're sour on Antonio Gibson, considering his right lower half has a Lisfranc injury, an MCL sprain that he needed offseason surgery for, and a bunch of soft tissue issues.
He's my 88.
So Robinson might be a sneaky buy. So listen to this. He did average 16 carries a game with Gibson healthy, but the one game he played without Gibson on the active game day roster, he had 24 rushes.
Damn.
Wow. So even without the targets, those are still great opportunities. Because if you're getting 20 carries, I'll just take it at cost. That's perfect. That's all I want. Running
especially
back
eighth round.
Correct. So running back 39 on 4-for-4 is a price I'm certainly willing to pay to get a share of this offense. I don't expect him to be more than a bench player unless Washington really picks it up this year, since Robinson was 37th in the league in red zone touches, so he needs more. Washington won't necessarily be the team that runs at the fourth highest rate this season like they did last season, but I still think they're going to try to protect Howell by keeping that number in the top 10. So I like Robinson's chances to put up 1,000 yards and 5-7 touchdowns if he's healthy for all 17. To me, that's the ideal bench guy to have. So
yeah, if he's your wide receiver, or sorry, running back 3 or 4, I don't hate it, right? Like I'm not excited, but.
Correct. So Brian Robinson's running back 39 on 4-for-4. Brian Robinson or AJ Dillon?
Brian Robinson.
I think I'm just a masochist, man. I think I just like getting hurt again and again and again. AJ Dillon just calls to me, right? Where I'm like, he's getting cheaper. He won't hurt me as bad as last
year.
Right.
All right. Brian Robinson or Khalil Herbert?
I don't believe in Khalil Herbert's ability to be the featured running back. So I'm going to be Rob.
Okay. Shane?
That's where I'm at too. It's funny because I see a lot of these people talk about Herbert, and I'm like, dude, I hang out with these Chicago boys once a week, and we never talk about Khalil Herbert. So that just signals to me, don't draft him.
I mean, he showed some flashes when Montgomery was out last year, but plus you got Justin Fields. I mean, he's soaking up all the running plays too. I mean,
well, they brought in two guys this year too.
Yeah.
There was a game last year, you guys, where the Bears played Washington on Thursday Night Football, and that was kind of like the last game before the unleashing of Justin Fields.
Was that the one where Waleed got so mad because...
because Vilas dropped a punt that he almost...
Yeah.
Like, there was a couple sequences. I don't know if y'all remember, the Bears lost the game. It was like 12-6 or something like that. They ran like 18 plays inside the 10-yard line and didn't score. Like, they got 3 points out of it. So yeah, that's right. That was Khalil Herbert, and that's why they brought in Roschon Johnson.
And Donta Foreman.
Yeah. And Donta Foreman.
Let's not slander.
All right, so let's move on. So 4 for 4, yeah, Peaky on the Discord. Fantasy Twitter, all about Antonio Gibson this year as a sneaky value, to the point where I think he won't be if we continue this discourse through the first week of September. So here's some of what people are saying. 70-plus vacated targets with J.D. McKissick gone, Bieniemy having them passing at a higher rate than last year, and they love the efficiency. So all of those things are true. Gibson's receiving profile every year is strong, even with McKissick around, and now he's got, in theory, a majority of the pass work all to himself. So that's all fine and good, and it makes sense to me, but they lose me when they project last year's Jerick McKinnon role onto Antonio Gibson. I think that's fantasy football advice malpractice. All right? Sure. McKinnon only had 12 more targets last year than Gibson, but still had 31 more fantasy points because he had 9 receiving touchdowns.
Yeah.
And one less plate in his foot.
Also true. The opportunity in targets may be there, but we can't just photocopy the KC offense and project it'll work well enough for Gibson to be a league winner at his price of RB30 on 4 for 4. Like, remember last year when everyone was scrambling to be the fantasy analyst that nailed the whole who fills the Tyreek Hill role in Kansas City, and it turned out to be nobody, just expanding the roles of what people were asked to do instead of asking one guy to take over the entire, hey, replace this stud. So
Radcliffe the other day was talking about the second target in Kansas City being McKinnon, not Sky Moore or...
Yeah, God damn it. So the price of the bricks going up is what you're telling me?
See, but we've been on that shit, though.
Yeah.
I mean, we said that, what, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
That's why I have almost 100% exposure to Jerick McKinnon in all my basketball drafts. He's the second passing option. So
it also proves that socialism works, because instead of giving one guy all of the stuff, you spread out the wealth and everybody eats.
Yeah. All right, so... I think being in on Antonio Gibson makes a ton of sense. I think his targets will increase. I think his yards will increase. And I think he might even be a reliable low-end RB2 right around where Robinson is. But I'm not giving him a top 15 or even in the top 20 ranking because I don't think this offense scores enough touchdowns this year to give Gibson double digits. Antonio Gibson is RB30 on 4 for 4. Antonio Gibson or Isaiah Pacheco?
Ooh. I'm going Pacheco just because I hate Gibson this year.
Okay.
I'm going back to the well of being hurt, man. I'm a Gibby guy. It's give me the passing upside, and I know Ron hates him and his efficiency isn't great, but that end zone, that red zone share for Pacheco scares the living shit out of me.
I got a upside debate for you here. Antonio Gibson or Devon Achane?
Ooh. I don't know. I'd probably go Gibson.
Okay.
That's probably the only time I'm going Gibson ever.
Go into your head. I'm going to make you make this choice. I think I'll go Gibson just because of the known commodity, as well as, say, Miami does pull off this Dalvin Cook acquisition.
Yeah.
That's a four-headed running room I want no part of, right? And, like,
true.
Your projected volume of, like, 8 carries per guy. Granted, A-Chain could be the most efficient guy in the room, but, like, I'm still going to go with the guy who can probably have 11
and
snaps.
For the, yeah. And on the team that had the lowest amount of rushes last year.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go on. Let's talk Scary Terry here. Scary Terry, the DJ Moore of the Washington Football Organization. In his 4 years, here is where Player Profile has him ranked in terms of wide receiver target accuracy. In 2019, he was 86th. And still finished as wide receiver 29 in fantasy points per game.
Can you articulate what wide receiver accuracy means?
Yeah, so it's the percentage of targets that are deemed to be catchable.
Okay.
So he was 86th in 2019.
Okay.
In 2020, he was 11th and finished wide receiver 20 in fantasy points per game. In 2021, he was 79th and finished wide receiver 29. In 2022, he was 61st and finished wide receiver 22 in fantasy points per game.
Really?
So you know what you're getting with Terry. He's an excellent wide receiver that has spent a vast majority of his career being held back by shit-ass quarterback play.
He re-signed, though. He is complicit in this. He could have left. He could have came to the Chargers, but no.
He sure could have. Ironically, his best statistical year came the only time he's played 30% or more of his snaps from the slot. Must be a coincidence. They probably shouldn't do that ever again. In his one game last year with Howell, Terry went 3 catches, 74 yards, and 1 touchdown on 6 targets, which was wide receiver 14 on the week. I think right around there is his ceiling as a wide receiver, if in terms of fantasy, like, Howell is a good quarterback. His ADOT is 12.8. That's real nice, but still lower than Jahan Dotson's bougie 13.6 ADOT.
God damn.
Let's go. Howell is a deep ball guy. In fact, I had him. I went back and looked. I had him with the best deep ball in the class of 2022. I think Terry, who had almost 400 yards receiving on 25 attempts, more than 20 yards down the field, could ball the fuck out this year if Howell is decent. At worst, he's going to be wide receiver 28, and you'll watch him catch 4 of 6 targets for 78 yards and no touchdowns each week. He is wide receiver 16 on 4 for 4, which I think is actually kind of drafting him at his ceiling given quarterback play. So, gentlemen, Terry McLaurin or Calvin Ridley?
I think I take McLaurin. Every time I get him, he's always my flex play, and I don't hate that word. Ridley to me at least feels more expensive.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going McLaurin. I can't trust the guy who hasn't played for 2 years.
What about Terry McLaurin or let's go absolute ceiling here? Terry McLaurin or T. Higgins?
Ooh. T. Higgins.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm ready to have zero in a couple weeks for the long juice.
Yeah. Sure. Way better quarterback and offense.
What about Terry McLaurin or Michael Pittman? No, you know what? Scratch that, because everyone's going to say McLaurin. Terry McLaurin or DK Metcalf? That's what I want to ask you.
Ooh, I'll go Metcalf.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to the guy that I had like the most exposure to in Dynasty drafts last year, Jahan Dotson. Rookie season was salvaged on a preposterous 7 touchdowns in 35 catches.
Dude, IBL league winner for me.
He had 61 targets in 12 games.
He was really good.
He would have, if he played all 17 at the pace that he was at, he would have been in the offensive rookie of the year discussion.
And I bought him for a second in Alec Pierce.
That's so good. In Howell's only game with Dotson, he has targeted 4 times and caught 3 for 72 yards.
That's like the same as Terry, but better efficiency.
Yep. For a guy that's 5'11 and 182, Dotson was a downfield monster last year. 30% of his targets came more than 20 yards past the line of scrimmage. Here's the problem, though. He never really had a huge target share. His 15.9% was 56th in the league. So, like, I think he's going to end up right around where he ended last year because he's going to play more games, but clearly touchdown regression is going to hit.
Also, you know? Too, when your quarterback is Carson Wentz and your team is like the sixth most rushing offense in the league, it just goes down, right?
Yep. So I think like so many of these Washington guys, he could end up being like a solid 8 to 11 points in PPR on a weekly basis with a touchdown every few weeks. But once again, if this offense hits and he retains 75% of his TD production, he's a weekly flex for sure.
Yeah.
Jahan Dotson, wide receiver 38 on 4 for 4. Jahan Dotson or Jacoby Myers?
Ooh, I'll go Dotson.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not believing in the Raiders this year.
Okay. Jahan Dotson or, this is a bit of a ceiling play here, Brandon Cooks?
Ooh, no, I like Brandon Cooks.
Okay.
Yeah, same.
Last but not least, Jahan Dotson or Juju Smith-Schuster?
Ooh. No, I'll stay with Dotson.
Okay.
I'm going to go Juju for volume.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah.
All right, so Curtis Samuel caught 64 of his 92 targets last year as Washington's primary slot wide receiver. He's going to get his again this year. His ADOT's going to be around 6.5 again, like 95th in the league, but it doesn't matter. He had 650 yards and 4 touchdowns last year. But what made him extra valuable were his 38 rushing attempts, which was an additional 187 yards and a touchdown. Washington's obsession with giving him the ball via handoff or jet sweep might not completely go away, but I think banking on another 30 or more carries this year is a bad idea. He's going to go back to catching 5 passes for 38 yards on a given week. Could be a very last spot of the bench spot start, late round bench stash, DFS discount play. At wide receiver 63, I mean, I get it, right? Would you take Curtis Samuel or Jonathan Mingo?
Ooh, ouch.
We're talking like round 16 here.
Yeah. I don't know. I might take a flyer on Mingo if it's okay. That late.
That's where I'm at. Give me the unknown.
Yeah.
Okay. He was second rounder and his only competition is Adam Thielen. So
here's my final summation.
Okay. If Washington had a better quarterback, then I might go Samuel. But
okay. So here's my final summation for Washington wide receivers and the role I think we'll have. Terry McLaurin's the alpha. He's going to get 140 targets this year, and he's got a ceiling of about wide receiver 15. Jahan Dotson will be second on the team in targets, may hit 90, and could be a wide receiver 3 once again if things fall right. Curtis Samuel, floor play, should not be a weekly starter, but could be a strong bench asset. No interest in De'Ami Brown. Tight ends, we've got Logan Thomas, John Bates, and Cole Turner. Once again, not interested. Washington doesn't value the tight end. None of these guys even possess anything close to the framework of skills that Travis Kelce brings to Kansas City, so I'm not even going to pretend. There's about 90 targets that are going to be split between Logan Thomas, who can't stay healthy, Cole Turner, who's a red zone specialist only, and John Bates, who sucks ass. I will pass.
Did you see all that hype about, like, I can't remember his name, but he was going to be like top 5 tight end finish. And Logan Thomas, I was like, dude, he's like 32 years old coming off an ACL.
Yep. Yeah, right.
Do not touch that player.
No.
That is someone projecting Travis Kelce workload onto a not Kansas City offense. And that's, hey, if you want to draft Antonio Gibson, draft Antonio Gibson, but don't expect him to be Jerick McKinnon.
Right.
Like, you stop projecting these roles onto other people. Coaches have schemes and systems, but we've already seen in Kansas City, it's just like, no. Let's base our system around the really good things that our dudes can do.
It's also Washington.
Also, Washington is a pretty poorly, but hey, you know what? Like, I think we've said a bunch of times, like they almost made the playoffs last year. And like, honestly, they punch up. They punch above their weight. They really do. I got to give them credit for that.
The dog is gone, though.
Does Washington get any wins in their division against their division?
Let's go through the schedule. What do you think?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Keep track of your how many losses you got for these guys. Week one, home against Arizona.
That's a W. Ooh.
That's W.
Could be a win. Yeah.
I'm going heavy on Commanders players in DFS week one. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Week two in Denver.
That's I think that's loss. Their first loss.
Week three, home against Buffalo.
Loss.
Week four in Philly.
Loss.
So we're at 1-3. Then they play at home against the Bears.
Loss.
Confident.
Then they go to Atlanta.
Ooh, I can see that as a win.
They could squeak one out.
I'll give them a win. All right, and then they go to New York to play the Giants.
That's a loss.
That's probably a loss, right? And then they play at home against Philly.
That's a loss.
So we're at 6. Then they go to New England.
I don't know. Maybe in Boston, I'm calling it a loss.
I'm giving them a loss because Bill Belichick and rookie quarterbacks, right. And Howell's essentially a rookie quarterback.
Yep.
So are we at 7 losses right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, then they go to Seattle. Got to assume it's a loss. Then they play at home against the Giants.
I think they could win that
one. At home?
Yeah. Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, they're at home. Yeah, they're at home against the Giants. I'm giving them a win.
I'm giving them a loss.
Okay. And then they go to Dallas.
Loss.
That's a loss. Then they play at home against Miami.
Loss.
That's a loss. So now we're at 10. They go to LA and play the Rams.
That should be a win.
They could win that one.
They go back to New York to play the Jets.
That's close. I'm giving the Jets the win.
I think that's where Aaron Rodgers gives up.
Okay, I'm giving them a loss. Then they play at home against San Francisco.
Loss.
And the last game of the season, they play at home against Dallas. Which, loss. If they're... We already said earlier that we're giving Dallas a win in that scenario. So where I have Washington right now is 4-13.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have them at... Wow.
Well, Sam Howell...
I have them at 14 losses. Wow, they're not going to be as bad as Tampa. I'll take one of those losses back.
Okay.
I'll give him 4 wins on the year.
Sam Howell, it must have been fun being a starting quarterback for a year, but that shit's over next year.
Yeah. Yep, they will be in line for the Drake May Caleb Williams sweepstakes next year. All right, so that's Washington. Before we go, you guys have any thoughts on who you might want to do next week?
Let me look at my list. I always forget.
That's okay.
I'm so preoccupied of completing this task where I'm like, oh, who's it going to go?
Right, Ryan, I still see you've got Cincinnati, yeah. Detroit, the Jets, the Jags, the Raiders.
I think I'm going to save Jacksonville for last. So
okay.
I'm going to get the Raiders out of the way.
Okay.
I'll do Vegas.
That sounds fun. Who should I do?
You're already done.
exactly. Oh, I've got Arizona, Baltimore, Buffalo, Cleveland, Minnesota, and Miami.
Well, our Miami fan dropped his review, so you could always refer to that. Or...
Yeah, we could. Well, I'm not touching the Miami thing. I'm willing to write their last.
That's true.
Because I think that's a spot that we need to seriously take, you know, and look at. And if it changes, if Cook's in there, it changes a lot. So, I don't even know.
God, Vegas. I think right now we need to just like decide, hey, who has the locked in situations, right? Like what is going to change, right? We're like, for example.
I don't think anything is going to change with Vegas. So.
Right. I will do Baltimore next week.
Okay. I'll
do the Ravens.
So we're going to go a good team, a should be good team. sorry, a bad team, a should be good team. I'll go. I think I'm going to get it done, dude. I think I'm going to get Chicago done.
All right. Hell yeah.
Sweet.
Maybe even a special episode. No, I'm kidding.
That's going to be my hour 45 segment because I have to.
Yeah, we could just do, we could do the guys and then me and Tony, and then just the second episode be all Bears.
Oh, man. Well, we're going to play the theme song a whole bunch of times. All right. So thanks for joining us, you guys. That was a long one, but we learned a lot. I'm excited for some of these guys and then avoiding Sam Howell. Any final thoughts before we go?
Don't draft Denver players. Have a good 4th of July.
Don't draft anyone from Denver.
Yep. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day, y'all. We'll talk to you next week. Good night.
Have a good week.